Welcome back. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope you are having an amazing Tuesday. We had Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line on earlier, and now we have Mr. Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. If you want to join in this conversation, if you have a question, please do. It's 437-1620. We would love to hear from you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Tammy. Awesome. I'm doing well. You know, Mike's telling people how to grow the garden and the grass and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm talking about how to grow your finances,
which is just as important here in 2023, I believe.
It is. It is. It's great to have the yard looking great, but it's also great to have that financial nest egg growing and there when you need it, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Especially now in 2023 when everything, interest rates are high, and we need to actually really be wise with what we do with our money. And that's why you're here to help us out this morning. Can you tell me a little bit about some risks that people are taking with their money these days? Maybe some ways they can grow their money?
Wow, that's interesting. The first thing that popped in my mind is something that happened. It's kind of bizarre. These things, some people will get these things in the email that will say, or a letter in the mail. And it actually has happened to people. Everyone's heard about it. It's that person and their distant relative in Guyana or something that left them some money.
Oh, wow.
Have you gotten those, heard about those?
No, sir, but that sounds scary. It sounds very sketchy.
It is. And there was this, it happened several years ago, actually, kind of talking about risk. This person actually called me up and said, there's a friend of mine. They got this letter about their relative in Guyana or Liberia or something like that. And I said, come on, really? You know, I don't know this person. I mean, this is a legitimate person. And they said, no, you really ought to meet this person. We're talking about really inheriting huge amounts of money. I said, it's not true. It's just
right.
Not true.
Yeah.
And what happens is, I said, tell me a little bit about the story. He says, well, you know, we flew over to England and met with some people, got some of the inheritance there, but we can only get a portion of it because of the laws. And we've only pulled out like $1,000, something like that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
It was for real or not?
Well, and that's what they told me. They said, but we couldn't draw it all out. We had to wait for a period of time because you only draw out so much a year. I said, no, it doesn't work that way, ma'am.
No.
And she says, oh yeah. And then all of a sudden, this time that she wants to come in because they're going to be wiring the money. And it was like $72 million that was supposed to come into the account. And I'm like, yeah,
$72 million.
Yeah, $72 million. I said, this is not happening.
No, this is a scam.
And they said, no. It's going to happen because you know this person, Liberia, and everything. And this person didn't look, didn't look black. I don't know, maybe whatever. I mean, I'm just being real about this. But anyway, all of a sudden, a wire comes in for $72.60, and they want me to find out what the problem is. I said, the problem is, they didn't send you the money. And then they got a call from somebody who says, well, you know, we had to pay some taxes here. We had to pay like $7 million in taxes. And in order to release this wire, you know, can you ante up some money or whatever?
Wow.
I said, no. I said, I do wires all the time and no one ever does this. And they said, oh, we're trying to get this money out of China. This is why. And I said, no, it doesn't work that way.
Wow.
So this literally happened. And the person walked out thinking that they had gotten they still believed.
They did?
And that's the kind of risk that I think the ultimate risk when you start buying into the get rich quick scheme that is out there. And I see that people, it happens to people. Also, you know, it happens occasionally when someone gets a letter from somebody who's a missionary somewhere and they say they need some support, or this young lady who who's really down and out and needs some support, and you have a really good-hearted person, and they just want to help them out, and so they send them $1,000. The next thing you knew, they're sending them $2,000. I've seen that happen.
Yes, and then they're like, "Can I have your bank information?"
Right, I see it, and so you just got to be receptive and think about, hey, does this sound too good to be true? Do I really have a relative I've never heard of who had this kind of money somewhere? whatever. I mean, you know, this is crazy.
Right. So in reality, it takes time to grow your money.
It does. It really does. And that's very atypical that happens, you know, that out there. The more typical thing is a person sometimes comes in the door and says, hey, I saw this mutual fund went up 76% last year. I want that mutual fund. And they don't realize what it invested in.
Okay.
And I say, you know, well, do you know what they invested this? Everyone likes that kind of return. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, who wouldn't want that kind of return? But and you have to peel back the onion to look and see what it invested in and see, okay, why do these companies go up that much? And are they expected to go up? What would cause them to go up another 76% or 20% or 30% anytime soon? And that's what it comes into looking at the portfolio and seeing really what they're invested in.
Right.
You know?
Takes a professional.
It really does. Yes. And I think
it knows what they're looking at.
You know, there was a guy I know a long time ago, a wise guy I admired a lot. He would always look at, you know, the top 10 Money Magazine mutual funds. And then he would always get out of those every year and whatever they, you know, they were, and he'd get out. And it was probably right, because the stocks that generated those kind of returns at that time are generally the ones who don't repeat the saga. One of the stocks we've had in the portfolio for a long time has been Amazon. And I love Amazon. Everyone always says, well, I love Amazon too, because I use it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to respect the fact that, you know, at some point it has to take a breather in order to advance further.
Okay.
And companies cannot consistently make perfect decisions every year about everything and in order to grow the business. And in the case of Amazon last year, they didn't. They overbuilt. They built too many facilities. They made a really bad purchase in Rivian, which is the hopeful battery truck company. They were going to replace all their last line delivery trucks or things like that. They weren't able to do it. So, I mean, and so these were mistakes that cost lots and lots of money. And so that hurts evaluation. It hurts your performance. But do you think they're over? No, they're not over. But, you know, do you really want to you have to be very careful what you buy in at. So that's what it takes in about the risk of chasing return. I see that sometimes with people looking at returns and thinking, well, it went up that return. It's got to go up the next route. You know, it's got to do that again. It doesn't always happen. The other thing that I see happen sometimes is trading. You know, people mm-hmm. believe that you hear these guys on like Bloomberg and sometimes CNBC will talk about, oh, well, I got out of this, got into this, got out of that, got into this. And they're getting in and out all the time. And there are people who do that. They're called traders, and that's what they do. And that's they make a living of that. But the people who are making real money, so to speak, mm-hmm. are not timing the market like that. Because when you time the market and do those kind of really fancy trades where you're trying to really get out and try to get a nickel here or a dollar there or whatever, that is extremely hard to do over time, and you can get caught red-footed, it's just not good. So the best thing to do is to try to not to time it, but to participate in good quality companies. And I'll give you an example. There was a brochure that was published a long time ago when I first started in the industry by a mutual fund company, is well known. And it had, brochure had a title. It said Willie the Winner. And it had
that's eye catching.
Yeah. It was really weird. And it was a picture of, this guy who was really a GQ guy. I mean, not me, but obviously somebody else. And he had managed to, time the market perfectly on the lowest trading value every year for the last 20 years. Okay. I mean, in other words, he bought low the every day on whatever the day it mm-hmm. was for the every year for the 20 years. I mean, perfect. Mr. Perfect, right?
Uh-huh.
The GQ guy. Okay.
Yes.
He's smiling big because he bought low. In this industry, you want to buy low, sell high, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then you had an alternative brochure that was called Louis the Loser.
Huh.
And Louis the Loser was a dopey guy. I mean, he was more of a guy like me, a dopey looking guy. And he is a person who has done just the opposite. He's actually bought at the highest point, which is more typical of what a person comes in. I bought that stock and it went down. The market knows when I invest. I mean, that's what I hear some people say. God. It knows when I invest. I said, well, you know, not with me. But anyway, so what happens is you had Louie the Loser and Willie the Winner. And the whole picture and the whole thing, it kind of draws you in and you want to open up that brochure and say, what's going on with these guys? Right. And you find out that the rate of return difference between the two guys, guess what the rate of return difference is over 20 years?
I don't know.
One got like 10% a year. Mm-hmm. And one guy got like 12.
Really?
It was a 2% difference.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
So, you know, the idea is like, oh man, if I don't get the best case scenario, mm-hmm. I'm hosed. And that's not the, answer.
Case.
It's
right.
just like, you know, if you're looking around for that perfect partner, number one, you're never going to find that perfect partner. Okay. I always tell people all women come with some sort of baggage. You got to accept the baggage or not, you know, or issues, you know, and guys do the same thing. All guys have certain issues. You got to deal with whatever the issue you want to deal with.
Right.
So stocks are the same thing. And things evolve over time, you know, just like the mistake with Amazon. Amazon management made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Husbands make mistakes. Wives make mistakes. We do things. You burnt the cake, Mom. Why'd you do that? I forgot the oven was on. I put it on 350. It should have been on whatever. I don't know.
So that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad stock.
Right.
It has issues. Sometimes it goes down. It goes up.
Right.
You know, and you also have to look at the long term of the stock, correct? Like, you know, the long term, how it's performed over long term.
Yes, you do. But you also, there are certain companies that are one decision stocks or two decision stocks. One, you buy it. Two, you get out of it. Because they have... let's say you bought it for a certain situation that was going to manifest itself. And once there are situations where management can do things and get into a certain cycle where it makes it crazy. You know, a good example is when Viagra came out back in 2000, that was a very anticipated drug. Nothing before on the market had been like it. And so the stock started to go really, really crazy. Well, you know, sales are going to go up on that security, and they did. But at some point, you get to the point where the valuation is in the nosebleed section. And so you have to say, okay, it's not realistic that they could increase the sales of Viagra to that extent.
Okay.
So you have to, like, liquidate. So, but certain companies, I would say that there are the two decisions companies where the business plan changes significantly off course. A good example would be like a Kmart, you know, where Kmart has done well for a number of years. At a certain point, they kind of missed the bar and realized that Walmart was really kind of taking them to lunch. And I remember still many years ago, Kmart was down to like in that less than a dollar a share. And they were saying, we're going to file for bankruptcy. And people were calling up saying, I believe in Kmart. I said, listen, it's not what I believe.
Right.
It's about reality. This
of it.
Money is going to disappear, called bankruptcy. You're going to get zero for this
right.
stock. And they literally just say, no, I want to buy it anyway. And I got to the point, it says, no, I cannot take that trade. Because, and I said, if you want to go commit suicide somewhere else, go there.
Right.
But not through me.
Absolutely.
So you have to like at some point try to educate the people. And that's what I try to do as a financial advisor, not to say I have all the answers, but I do have some experience out there and realize that at some point you have to, it's not about emotions and hope is not an investment strategy. That's a thing. Well, I hope everything turns around. Well,
right.
I'd like to see Kmart come back too, because I like Kmart, but
yeah,
you know, but it's not going to happen.
That's
They're gone. The ship
has
sailed, you know, same thing with Sears. You know, I like Sears, but you know, where are they now? You know,
right?
Not like they were.
I used to get the Sears toy magazine
when
I was little.
Oh,
that
man.
Was the best thing that ever came in the mail at Christmas
time. I would high five you if we weren't to have this glass in front of you, Tammy. I would high five you.
I used to circle it all. I think I got a Barbie ice cream shop out of there one time, and I was so excited about that Christmas present. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I have Wesley Odom here with me with Armada Advisor. If you have any questions for him, 437-1620, you can call or text in. So how is the market doing, Wesley?
Market is doing well. The S&P is up like around 8% year to date. The Dow, which is the Dow 30, which you hear every night talked about, is up around 2%. And the NASDAQ, which is your innovative company, smaller, is up a whopping 16%.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot. It really is. Of course, this is off the losses that we had last year in the market. And so that's it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. And I've been, if you listen to the radio show for all this year, whatever, you'll know that I've been pretty bullish about this turnaround. I mean, really have. I know that some people out there say we're going to hell in a handbasket, but
it feels sometimes.
But you know, those guys are going to be left at the station, and you know, there's really good things going on right now in the economy. Not to say you should be throw out risk aside. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that worry me. You know, I mean, you know, things like commercial real estate. I mean, you have obviously more people working remotely and things of that nature.
Yes.
We live in a great state of Florida, mm-hmm. but other parts of the country aren't so fortunate. And you've had situations where people are literally companies are leaving and vacating their real estate. And so that's causing pressure. Mm-hmm. So in that area, you know, you got to be very, very cautious, even though some people say, what, the yield is so good. And I say, well, they can cut that dividend. And they do
Yeah.
You know, companies will do it, you know, because they got to stay surviving. I mean, it's about surviving. It's like, you know, you give the lunch money to the kids and maybe extra money to buy the little Twinkie in the machine. But at some point, if things get tough at home, you're going to cut back the Twinkies. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, you got to be realistic about it. So anyway, and that what I hear some people talking about, a lot of people sometimes advertise about it, is going into these annuity products that lock your money up for 10 years. And I'm thinking that's some of the biggest mistakes people are making right now. And the reason I think it's a mistake is because, number one, you're locking your money up for 10 years. You're really giving a great commission to that broker. I mean, he loves it. That's one thing. What we differentiate ourselves we're not doing is we're actually not a commission broker. We're actually a registered investment advisor, which means we have to act as a prudent man would.
Okay.
And what that simply means, we have to do asset allocation. We have to do things in the best interest of the client and also negotiate, a fee schedule with the client. So it's all open kimono. You know exactly how much it's going to cost. You know, if it's an asset advisory fee, if it's, whatever the case may be, we do that. And so as a result, you have someone that's trying to look out for your best interest rather than, okay, I'm just trying to sell this product to get this money through the door. If you go into an annuity, for example, that locks your money up for 10 years, when I say lock it up, that means if you pull out like the first mm-hmm. year's a 9% penalty or 10, and the next year's 8 and goes down, whatever. I mean, that's because the guy who sold it to you got a whopping commission on that. And what typically happens is an insurance company is only going to give you a certain upside to that. They guarantee they're going to have some kind of downside protection to some extent if you die, but there's some risk there. And if a person came to me and says, hey, I want to invest in a portfolio that's for 10 years and not touch it, but still have access to it. Oh, sure. With no penalty. Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. We could do that. And then also, what is my upside and downside risk? And I can tell you, if you look at a portfolio, you can dial in what your portfolio is. Number one, you do that by what am I buying? What kind of downside risk is there? And there's a way, if you go back over 10 years, you can assess different risk. And say, okay, well, how was the stock trading when it made this much money? What does the outlook look like for the near future and whatnot? And sometimes, you know, you can even do that with like, for example, a utility company. Hmm. You know, I know a guy who worked for Southern Company his whole career. Is a lot of his company was money was in Southern Company. And he says, hey, I know that Southern Company is going to pay me X number of dollars in dividends. And I know their appreciation is going to be Y over time. And I know historically that could be anywhere from 6 to 9% total every year. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
And you know what? I can get to my money anytime I want to with no penalty. Wow. That's a smart guy.
Yeah.
It's a smart guy. He's not having to get, what I mean? So, mm-hmm. you know, the question I said, well, you know, you got a little bit more if you diversified. And he says, no, I'm happy with that. I got a ton of Southern. I'm okay with it. And as long as he understands that,
right.
And he can weather it, and he's seen Southern go down and he's seen Southern go up. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to do is you have to put that, get in the mindset and realize what the risks are, what the returns are, and if you need to, you know, enhance that or not. And also now we have choices with fixed income, which are bonds and CDs. We didn't have a year ago. A year ago, we had like 1%. You could get 1% in your CD. You could get maybe not for a long term. I mean, even short term, nothing for a short term. Mm-hmm. and things like that. And now you can get like over 5%, north of 5%. You can get money market rates over 4%. You could not get that a year ago. So that these the whole environment now is totally shifted to a more investor-friendly argument. Of course, someone might argue, well, what about inflation?
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, is inflation going to disappear? No.
No. I mean, we wish.
That's right. When you were young, Tammy, how much did a Coke cost in the machine?
Oh, I don't even, it wasn't that much. What was it?
25 cents? Yeah, 25 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah, 25 cents for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember that. You do, too. What is it now? It's like, what, $1.50, I think, in some. And
it
not is. Not even, you know what I mean?
It's crazy.
You know, that's called inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's never going to disappear as long as we have the standard system we do, which is more dollars are created. And there's a thing called the M2, which is the money supply, something that guys like me get excited about. But just it's how much dollars are in the system. And if you look over time, you can, since 1992, when I started in the industry, it was like a plane taking off slowly. And all of a sudden, during the Obama presidency, that plane started to turn up like a rocket ship. And then it started to just trail off a little bit. And then we had the corona crisis hit.
Mm.
And then it took off like a more of a rocket ship, if you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then recently, because of all the cutbacks in the federal the government a little bit and interest rates trying to be contracted, we started to go down just a tad. But I'm a real believer that money supply, that those guys in Washington are addicted to money. So, which kind of leads into, well, should I buy gold and things of that nature? Well, you could mm-hmm. if you want to buy gold. Gold has been, you know, inflation sensitive for a long, long time, or tends to. And but again, do you want to put all your eggs in one bag? And I just wouldn't recommend that.
What do you feel is the biggest mistake someone could make right now in our economy and how things are?
I think waiting, putting everything in the money market since money market rates are high, I think it'd be a wrong thing to do just because interest rates are going up. I think mm-hmm. the Federal Reserve is not through. I mean, they're done for a while. They could cut back maybe if things get better at the end of the year, which I think possibly could happen. So that means you risk the opportunity to grab maybe 6%, maybe 7% out for, for a bond or something like that. So that's pretty sad. So I think, number one, not doing anything is a miss. And also, not taking advantage of some of the discounts that are out there. I mean, there are always discounts, just like when you go shopping.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of sales. I feel like sometimes I should be like a car salesman. We're doing, we have lowered the prices for you.
Listen, I like a good discount. Let's talk about this.
Exactly. If I did that, I'd be kind of funny. You know, things are on for sale. I'm the only guy in my industry. You know, when things do get really cheap, people are like running out of the door. Man, things are down. I'm getting out of here, man. So anyway, but no, I think you have to be disciplined. I think you have to know that we're not going in a vortex. Sometimes it gets really scary if you listen too much of the news.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I don't listen to it.
There was a guy I know, every night he turned on the news. Every night, not watching, didn't watch Netflix, didn't do anything. Watched the news every night. And I said, you must be an angry man.
Yeah, sad and scared.
Right, exactly.
So I surely would be scared if I watched it every day.
Right, you just can't do it. You can't do it. You got to say, read the news that's important. Because I know one time I was watching Bloomberg, because we have to have it on when I'm at the office and everything and trying to find out what's going on. I like mm-hmm. to hear what the talking heads are doing. And one guy literally screamed in the microphone, if you're not out of this market right now, you have missed the boat. You know what happened to that guy?
What?
They ended up firing him.
Oh, wow.
A few days after that. He was gone.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I went back to try to find the tape of that, mm-hmm. They always tape all. They conveniently deleted
I'm
that
sure.
part because they did not want their guys to get in the financial advisory business, so to speak, on TV. But those guys, it's really interesting to see what they say sometimes. I mean, I really prefer the interviews with some of the players, like the CEOs, things of that nature. I think that's how you learn a little bit of, glean a little bit of information. But,
absolutely.
Anyway.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We have Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors with us this morning. He was a pleasure. We definitely need financial advice in 2023. Anything we can get. If you have any questions, you want to join the conversation, it's 437-1620. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom. Coming up, we have the Florida Department of Health, the Escambia County Health Department. If you have any questions with them, please join us.